Living for the Lord is not a burden. It's not a heaviness. There's a spirit of life. Like Peggy said, just go with the flow. Filled with the Spirit, and go as the Spirit takes us and brings us and reveals to us. Our opening scripture this morning, there's been lots of them, and I saved mine for the last for this particular time, is Psalm 19 and verse 14. Very short, very important. 19 verse 14. First word in the verse says let. That's really important because we've been given the choice. Let means to allow or to permit. And that sounds really nice until you get to the next few words. It says, let the words of my mouth. If we've been empowered and enabled to let something or control something, our mouths, that's a whole different ballgame. Because we have to remember that whatever we speak is going to produce fruit. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. What's going on inside? What do I think about? What do I meditate on? What's my motive? What is my what is it that drives me from the inside? What is it that I'm always passionate about? What is it that I want to see bear fruit in my life? This is all connected. And it says, let the words of my mouth, number one, and the meditation of my heart, number two, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. There's so many things we can do, and people will say, oh, what a good person you are. All your works are so good, the good things that you've done. And you get praised, and then you get to heaven, and God said, yeah, you did a pretty good job, but you didn't do anything I told you to do. You always did what you wanted to do, and you did it up good. But there's no reward for that. Duh. Sad, isn't it? But true. Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. My strength, the one who's empowered me, the one who's enabled me, the one who's anointed me. All of us have been given gifts and skills and talents, and they're all for glorifying the Lord. But if we let our flesh take those same things, then what do we glorify? We glorify ourselves, and there's no reward in that except that we get the praises of men. However, if we apply the spiritual application, the Spirit of God behind it, why He's enabled us, why He's empowered us, what He's gifted us with, what our ministry call is, if those things were faithful, we will flourish as a branch and will not wither. So two things, the words of my mouth. If I just let my mouth run off and say anything that it wants to say, number one, there's probably about a 99% chance that if the mouth is not checked by the Spirit, it isn't always going to speak words that glorify the Lord. And you might be shocked at what comes out of your mouth. I'm still shocked at what comes out of mine sometimes. Come on now, this is a house of real right here. You know? And the meditation of my heart, that's really important. Because our words create, always remember that, our words create. And so if we want to bear good fruit, and then we need to be speaking. And if you make a declaration of faith, then you stand to it. It needs to be based on the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. The words that will please God are the words of faith. Speaking the words of faith. Speaking the word in faith. Speaking His words in faith. And don't be moved by circumstances. Don't let the words of somebody else's mouth wreck your prayer. And I'll take it a step further. Don't let the words of your mouth wreck your prayer. You spend time before the Lord and in prayer, and you release your faith and you make your confession of faith, then don't make the mistake. If you don't see something happen in 3 days, you start undoing that prayer with your words. And meditating on it, meditating on the word, that always will produce a pure motive. And that's like, it's connected with pruning too. God will only cut out what we will allow him to take out. He doesn't force us to speak his word. He doesn't force us to do anything. He gives us the privilege and the opportunity and the ability and the anointing to do it, but it still comes down to our will. But if we want to be able to stand from a position of strength, of power, of enduring, of overcoming, of winning, then these things are important. And the lesson with the pruning this morning is a really good demonstration as well, because each one of us are a branch in Christ and he's the true vine. If he's the true vine, there has to be a false vine. The true vine is relationship, connection, hooked up, communion with the Lord. The false vine is religion. We just go through all the motions, but our heart's not really in it. It's all outward. Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So it's not what we say, it's what we do. A lot has truly happened here this morning. And before we pray for those of you that want prayer, I would like to leave with you some very comforting words from our Father. Abba Father, dear Daddy God. Once again from Psalms, but this time from Psalm 34. And verses 17 through 19. Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19. And I apologize, I think I brought my funny Bible this morning. I'll have to put the two side by side. Psalm 34:17, say the righteous cry. Now that's really important, because who are the righteous? I saw one hand in the house.
We are.
All right. And how did that happen?
Jesus.
All right. God declared you to be righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, and his blood has cleansed every believer. And God has forgotten every sin that we ever committed. That's powerful. So when the righteous cry, that means when you cry, the Lord hears and delivers you out of three of your troubles on Tuesdays. Isn't that what that says? How many does it say he delivers the righteous out of?
All.
And all means all, doesn't it? Amen. You know, we're studying our next segment from Peter about patience, growing in patience and endurance. And these scriptures are very good, because it's possible, and it has happened in many instances, where the Lord did an instantaneous deliverance of many things that have captured a person's life and held them slave or captive to it. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Notice it didn't say that it delivered all the trouble out of them. It just said that the Lord delivers them from their troubles. In other words, it's perfectly normal for a Christian to have troubles. But the difference is, the trouble doesn't have to have you. That's a really good word. The trouble doesn't have to have you. There's a difference. Next verse. The Lord is near or nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as of a contrite spirit. Those who realize that we can't walk this walk on our own without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not going to happen. And to realize that and to admit that is a fact in itself rather humbling. But it's the truth. When you and I cry out to the Lord, if we're trying to walk our walk in pride, looking around, looking at one another to compare ourselves, well, I think I'd probably just suggest that we all look at Jesus and we'll see that we all fall just a tad short. So we can't be looking and comparing, but it's us when we cry out to the Lord. What's the attitude of our heart? Remember, we were talking about the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart. God is concerned more about what's going on the inside than he is about what's going on the outside. Jesus always talked more about the spirit than the flesh. And so I'm thankful that the Lord knows. So I don't have to be the judge of that. I wouldn't be a very good judge. I'm left-handed. You'd all be in trouble. Most of all, me. And then verse 19, if you stopped with just the first part of that, oh my gosh, what? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I'm so thankful for the next part of that verse. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Yes. And that's the good news I want to leave you with this morning. There's a lot of things happened, a lot of things were spoken. But the one cap to all of it is, in spite of all of the troubles, the afflictions, the words, the attitude of people around us in this world that don't follow Christ, it's never going to win. The only time it wins is if we let it. And this tells me that the Lord will deliver us out of them all. God is faithful. He's attentive. He cares for you. He favors you. Everything he does is for your good and my good, and he's for us and not against us. And all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. And if you don't know what they are, start digging and see what you've inherited, and you will see how the Lord has delivered us from all the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:13. It's already happened. And so since it's already happened, that changes our attitude, or it should, whenever a situation comes up and we get caught up in it. The wonderful good news is that back at the cross, Jesus already delivered me from all of the power of it. It has no place over our lives. And we don't have to stay in bondage to anything or anyone. We've already been delivered. Deliverance has come. And it isn't a matter of God's time. It's a matter of our time. God is waiting for us, not we waiting for him. Because God is always present everywhere at the same time. So he waits for us. And when we're ready, he's always been ready, because he's already done it. When you look back at the cross, that's when it happened. And now, when we say we're waiting on God, well, maybe we should look at that from a different perspective, with a different understanding. When we're waiting on God, now God's waiting on us. When we come to that place or that time, he's already right there, because he's done the work, and now we step into the freedom that it offers. And so no matter the tumult, no matter the turmoil, no matter what, God has already provided our escape. And it isn't in the sweet by and by. It's right now, today, right where we live. Today's our day of victory. Today's the day we win. Today's the day the Word says that we are more than conquerors and that He always causes us to triumph through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when you go out of here today, go out as a winner. Go out as more than a conqueror. Go out as an overcomer, one who has not been overcome, but the one who is the overcomer. And that's you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Who would want prayer before we go so that we can all pray for each other?